always very festive on the eve of the intensa, isn't it? Great night, good chanting. I like to begin by quoting my great guru, Baba Muktananda, who began every talk by saying in Hindi, Sabko bada sanmane ke saath prem se hardik swagat. With great respect and love, I welcome you all my heart. And he would say that was the essence of spirituality, to welcome another person with love, understanding that the light within each person is the light of the divine. And that spirit, he wanted to conduct his programs, and that's the way we feel also. So in that spirit, I want to welcome you all. and tomorrow, I'm very happy, and I think of Baba intensely on the eve of an intensive, because he told me many things in my years with him, gave me many different sort of directions and directives and so on. But the thing that he kept coming back to is hold intensives. He kept saying, hold intensives, because he wanted the Shakti, the awakening, to spread. And he wanted more and more people to awaken and have that awakening of their latent spiritual power, their latent inner energy, called in the esoteric literature the Kundalini energy, which just means the conscious energy, that we are so much more than we think we are, and we're capable of awakening to new levels of our being and new levels of joy and happiness and wisdom. And to do that, we have to spend a little time in inner growth, in inner work, meditation, self-inquiry, and so on. So I always feel very close to him at the time of an intensive, and I secretly say, see, Baba, I'm being a good boy. That's how I felt with him. So I welcome you and all that. And tonight I'm going to do, I usually do Baba, but I've decided to do what I call the lineage program. And the lineage program means that the two senior members of our lineage and the junior member get an airing. And first, the guru's guru, Baba's own guru, the great Bhagwan Nityananda. And this is the photograph of Bhagwan Nityananda that Baba most loved. And he had a statue cast of this very pose. And we also have a statue over there of Bhagwan Nityananda. And Bhagwan Nityananda was Baba's guru, who awakened him by Shaktipat in 1947. And that came as an extraordinary surprise to Baba, who'd been a practicing yogi. He'd been all over the country studying with many different teachers. But when he met Bhagwan Nityananda, this transmission of energy blew his mind, and it set off a process in him that went on for 9 years until Baba was self-realized. So he always honored Bhagwan Nityananda. Bhagwan was, before I got to Ganeshpuri, he had died about 9 years before, so I never met him, but his samadhi, his tomb, is in the village near where our ashram was. And it's a very, very powerful spiritual center, even to this day, as many people here will attest. And Bhagwan Nityananda, as you can tell, would perhaps have been out of place at Lilavati's ball. Or maybe not. Maybe not. But the loincloth is by Armani. And the mala is by Prado. Right? Prado. 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 All right, anyway, whatever. Whatever. So Bhagwan, as you can see, was what they call an avadut in India. It means these are saints that are so far beyond body consciousness and so far beyond convention. They're so filled with inner energy and love and detachment that they really don't give a damn about anything, but not in a negative way. And so he used to sit around like that, and people just coming into his presence would get that awakening. And he didn't give lectures, he didn't give formal teachings, but he occasionally made enigmatic remarks. And fortunately, we have some of them written down by a devotee named Tulsi Amma, a woman devotee from the 1920s, wrote some of these down. So the first part is Bhagwan Nityananda. He said, "Vairagya should be like fire burning a cloth." And Vairagya is detachment. And Patanjali talks about Vairagya and Abhyasa. There are two things we have to do in spiritual life. Even if you go to Melbourne, you have to do two things. You have to go to Melbourne and you have to leave Mount Eliza. So in spiritual life, you have to go towards the highest truth and you have to leave your ignorance behind. So the movement towards the highest truth, towards the self, towards God, towards consciousness, is called abhyasa, or practice. You do practice to do that. And then the process of letting your ignorance go is vairagya, detachment. You let this stuff go. So he said it should be like a fire burning a cloth. It should be like a fire. When vairagya is highly developed, the self will be visible. When you're detached enough, then the true self is there. The body may sit firm, but it is the mind that should sit firm. You know, some yogis learn to sit like that, but what's their mind doing? The really important thing is not the posture of the body, but if you can quiet the mind, if the mind is not going through its compulsive, obsessive rounds, swirling negative emotions and so on, but you find a harmonious, peaceful place, clear space of good feeling to sit in. He says, so the mind should sit firm. Those whose minds are not purified seldom have equal vision. You seldom see things in a sense of oneness. Those who do not practice will have great difficulty in possessing the purity, the quality of purity in them. So it's only through practice, through spiritual practice, that we can attain that state of peace and harmony. What does it mean by spiritual practice? Well, the mother of all practice is meditation. And there are many other practices within that, but meditation is the great one. And then the ability to control the mind, make the mind move in positive channels. This retreat, we've been talking about Kashmir Shaivism, and particularly the doctrine of Matrika, or how the mind works. And when the mind moves in negative channels, and by the mind I mean not only the thoughts but the emotions, when you move in anxiety, in fear, in hatred, in jealousy, in anger, when you move in all these unhealthy directions, what happens to you? You feel miserable. You burn in that. But when the mind moves in positive channels, when it moves in beautiful, loving thoughts, then the emotions become calm and harmonious and you feel great. And this is basic thing. So to purify the mind means to make it move in proper channels. And we know this practically, but we don't know what to do about it. And that's why so many people have alcohol and drug addictions, because they want to calm their mind. And that's what they use to do it. But it's possible to calm your mind directly through knowledge and through meditation. So he says, for those who do not practice, will have great difficulty possessing that harmony. The subtle intelligence is developed by practice. Unless you practice, the desire for things cannot be destroyed. you become obsessed by externals. Hankering after landed property, relationships, or wealth is difficult to extinguish, as we all know. What is the thing to be attained by a human being? He says, okay, you can go after all these externals, relationships, money, status, power, all those things. But what is the essence? What is the ultimate goal of a human being? He says, and the ultimate goal for a yogi is to know the self, because then you have complete satisfaction and complete peace. He says, when the mind is free from the three forces of sattva, rajas, and tamas, it is called liberation. When these impulses die down and you reach harmony, that's liberation. Sorry. Just as dirty linen becomes clean when washed in water, so also the mind should be purified by what? What is that? The throat has to be purified. So the mind should be purified by washing it in the soap water of buddhi or intelligence. And it must be made as pure as space. So you have to learn to quiet the mind, is what he's saying, through meditation. When you learn sewing on a machine, in the beginning your attention must be fixed not on the legs, but on the hands. Now, I imagine that in those days, they had sewing machines that powered by pedaling. Is that right?
They still have them.
They still have that? And so you have to, I don't know. Anyway, when we fix our attention on buddhi and make the mind merge into the heart space, then we will attain that eternal peace, which is called Nityananda. So we don't focus on other things. We focus on putting the mind into the heart. Then we attain Nityananda, the eternal bliss. So that's an example of Bhagwan. And then I go to my daddy, my spiritual father, Baba Muktananda. This is more or less the way he looked when I first met him in Ganeshpuri in India, 1971. And these are some question answers from his tours about various yogic topics. Question. Sometimes you refer to a knot in the heart. What does that mean? Baba says, there is a knot in the heart that makes you experience yourself as small, though you are great. And what he basically said, which is what Shaivism taught, that we feel we diminish ourselves. We hate ourselves, we put ourselves down, we compare ourselves to others, and we feel bad about ourselves. But actually within, there is such greatness and such potential within every single person. But we don't see that, we just do these comparisons and we diminish ourselves. So he says, the knot in the heart diminishes us. This knot makes you experience suffering even though you're nothing but bliss. Now most of us don't feel that we're nothing but bliss. But from the point of view of a yogi, that's who we actually are. Imagine if you could be happy and fulfilled and peaceful all the time. Well, that's what great beings, that's why we hang around with great beings like that, because they found the secret to that, which is an inner secret. He says, because of this knot, that you consider yourself to be made of matter, though you are made of consciousness. The knot in the heart gives rise to this kind of understanding over and over, and after giving rise to it, it fosters it and keeps it firm. So there's a knot an obstacle within that keep a voice, I would say, a voice that keeps telling, diminishing us, speaking to us, and giving us self-talk, negative voice, saying, I can't do it, I'm no good, I don't compare to that person, so on. No one loves me, these persons don't honor me properly. Baba says, in meditation, this knot must be cut through by the mystery of Kundalini. It's not a physical knot. It is a psychological knot. The word for it in Sanskrit is a granti. A knot, it's a horrible word, granti. It's called maya or illusion. It's wrong understanding this knot is made of. This knot in the heart can be burned up by the fire of Kundalini. When this knot is gone, all of a sudden the inner being is filled with light and you begin to laugh. It is this knot that causes everyone to suffer. The purpose of the guru's grace is to burn it up. And when the guru awakens us, we get in touch with an energy that's already within us, but latent. And when we start to understand that we can move towards that energy that undoes these knots that are within us. And scriptures talk about three knots, one in the heart, one in the third eye, and one around the navel. And these three knots, the Hatha yogis are always trying to break through them. But Baba says through this awakening, we can do that. Question. Is enlightenment possible without meditation? What do you think? This is a typical Baba answer. Begins by saying, oh, it might be, and then at the end he says, no, you cannot possibly. It's like he always does this thing. Baba says, enlightenment is possible without meditation if you practice knowledge. But even knowledge will show you meditation. So if you have wisdom, what is wisdom? Wisdom is to know what's good for you and what's bad for you. Wisdom is to know how to make a good choice that leads to your ultimate benefit, your joy, your peace, and not to make a bad choice that goes in the other direction. That's a huge amount of wisdom, way beyond normal. Way beyond anybody, really, without a lot of work. He says, if you just talk and talk, you're not going to attain God. It is very true that God is within everybody. However, you have to enter into that inner space. There's nothing great, if there's anything great in your life, if there's anything worthy of attainment, it is the self. We come to a moment in our lives, some of us, where we realize that the external answers don't do it. And then we turn to the inner path, to the spiritual path. And when that happened to me, I learned that there were great sages alive on earth, and I wanted to study with one who could show me how to crack the code, because I felt those knots, those gruntis, the knot inside myself that made me miserable. And I wanted to meet somebody who'd broken through that. And I realized that the one thing I really wanted, and because I had a pretty good external life, but I still hadn't achieved happiness. The one thing I wanted was to know my own self. Baba says, many astonishing things take place in this world. There are people who can perform miracles that make you feel wonderstruck. However, this skill, this art is astonishing. Astonishing others lies only in the inner self. All the people who have great skills, you know, you go, whoa. Taylor Swift, whoa. But it's only because of the contact with the inner self that these things are possible. And the inner self, one of the texts in Shaivism says, the yoga is filled with wonder. Ishmael, it's full of wonder, and it's like, wow. In the 60s, everyone went, oh, wow. That's because they were stoned. Now I'm going, wow. But that's wonder. And when you're in that state, the whole world is full of wonder and joy. Whatever in this world creates astonishment is because of the inner self. Become completely still. Have no thoughts in the mind. Become immersed in the inner self. Meditate only on the inner self. Make your mind very pure. Worship the inner self. Without meditation, there's no enlightenment. Please come down to that. The Bhagavad Gita says that only through meditation can you perceive your inner self. If enlightenment were possible without meditation, everybody could be enlightened by now. Only a meditator could be enlightened, Baba says. So, I agree. I think that you should put a little meditation in your daily practice, even if it's 20 minutes a day. It's very beneficial, because in that moment you turn within and you get in touch with the inner source, because there is an inner source. It's the source of life. It's the source of joy. It's the source of love. Think about it. Whatever things you like in the outer world, they give you joy. Even when you fall in love, you love that other person, but what's really happening is the other person triggers your love. And if you like a sport, you love that sport, it triggers your enjoyment. It's always something inside you. So in meditation, we go directly to it. How are we doing? Okay, one more from Baba. Yeah? My voice can hold out. Question. Is meditation essential for a meaningful life? Baba, meditation is a tremendous help in living a meaningful life. However, one should understand what meditation really is. Meditation is not just sitting with closed eyes. During meditation, the inner energy awakens, and though outwardly you may seem to be doing nothing, inwardly much is happening. And so meditation is the effort to connect with that inner energy. Once it's been awakened, you know when you're not in touch with it, and you search within, and you know different methods, like saying the mantra, which puts you in touch with it. Then you try to get in touch fully and expand it and live in that energy. He says, whatever field we're in, means external field, we need that energy, that Shakti, very badly, because Shakti is the supreme singer, the supreme dancer. She balances the whole universe. She helps us to learn, to plan, and to function better. Shakti is necessary not only to attain inner peace and liberation, but even to function effectively in daily life. You need to become young again when you become old. Having become old, I became young once again, Baba says. The Shakti transmitted through Kundalini Yoga is not inert. It is not unconscious or unintelligent Shakti. The Shakti is dynamic, full of joy, very active, and as a result, you experience more joy and you participate more. It doesn't put you into a cave. It puts you more fully in life, and you engage life with joy and with pleasure. You do not become withdrawn and sad. Indescribable bliss is the very goal of meditation, of Shaktipat. When you're experiencing this bliss, let your mind merge into it completely. There is a place inside where supreme bliss constantly vibrates. And Baba is saying about every person. There's a place inside every one of us where supreme bliss vibrates. And it's only because of our inadvertence, our inattention, and our being caught up in other things that we lose touch with it. If we put a little energy into finding it, we could get in touch with that place. He says, when your mind reaches that place, it experiences this indescribable bliss. When it returns from there, it leaves the bliss behind. As your mind returns, hold on to the Guru and repeat Guru Om, Guru Om, Guru Om, and then that bliss will come back. It is that state of bliss which people like me live in, he says. We're continually drunk on that bliss. That was my experience of him, that he was always in that state. And now we have the junior member. There's a young version of the same. A few of what I call notes from the tea shop. Yeah. This one's called Shakti and Understanding. There are two things, Shakti and Understanding. Similar to what Baba was saying. Shakti is raw power. Understanding gives the shape. This is parallel to the two branches of Kashmir Shaivism, the Spanda school, which is a school of Shakti or energy, and the Pratyabhigna school, which is a school of understanding. It's like a dam that holds a body of water. The gate opens and allows the water to flow. So the water is like a huge energy, but the dam regulates it so that it comes out in a useful way rather than just overwhelming everything. Understanding is thought, Shakti is feeling. When they're in harmony, we achieve the clear space of good feeling. That is peace and clarity, along with the dynamic aspect of love. Therefore, devotion is best, since it effortlessly combines thought and feeling. Another one. Second education. I always talk about second education, which is a kind of education different from our normal education. A normal education I call first education. Second education is the inner education. Second education is not interested in discursive ideas as such. However, it takes those ideas and makes them grist for the mill for contact with the higher power. Second education is nothing but such contact. Second education is trying to have that experience of the self. Another way of saying this is that second education transmits Shakti, spiritual energy. So, I've got one about statues and photos. I'll do that one. And yeah, two more I got. Statues and photos. Question, why do I see so many statues of Bhagavan Nityananda and none of Baba Muktananda? Answer, simple. Bhagavan Nityananda is a statue and Baba Muktananda is a photograph. Bhagavan Nityananda represents a certain state of consciousness. Call it Brahman or Shiva. It is still and vast. Baba Muktananda is absolutely one with Bhagavan Nityananda, but he models the Shakti aspect of consciousness, its dynamic richness and variety. Baba had many looks and many faces. A statue couldn't capture him. You have to look at many photos to get a sense of the full range of emotions and moods that he manifested. You never could, one after another. With Bhagavan Nityananda, if you see photographs, they all seem the same, really. But with Baba, it's all different people, and yet you intuited that they were one in some sense. By contrast, though Bhagavan Nityananda did have a variety of moods, the overwhelming sense of him was powerful beingness, steadiness, and oneness. It's not that you can't have a statue of Baba that might have Shakti, but you won't see many of them. There are such things. And now a personal story, you ready? You have to understand the term Jibaba. J-I means yes, Baba. And you, a good disciple, if the guru says something, is supposed to go Jibaba, yes. Whatever he did later, That's what he did. So this is called Muktananda told Shankar. Muktananda told Shankar, don't have tearing thoughts. Don't put yourself down. Don't say I'm a beggar. Say I am the self. Shankar said, gee, Baba. Muktananda said, don't puff yourself up. Don't say I'm a king. Say I am the self. Shankar said, gee, Baba. Muktananda said, oh, Shankar, always say, I am the self. Shankar said, gee, Baba. Shankar said, thank you for telling me this secret. Muktananda said, silly goose, this is no secret. Tell it to everyone. So I am the self. Shankar said, gee, Baba. Shankar said, but Baba, some won't understand it. Some won't appreciate it. Some will forget it. And some will resent it. Muktananda said, it doesn't matter. The place they understand it will hear it. The place they appreciate it will value it. The place they remember it will contemplate it. The place they cherish it will embrace it. It will germinate in the dark soil of their psyche. It will be triumphant in the fullness of time. Shankar said, Ji Baba. That's it. Thank you. So I am the self. This is what Baba taught me. The greatest moment I had with him. He said, always think I'm the self. Not that I'm a beggar or a king. Don't blow your ego up and don't put yourself down. Remember that you're beyond both of that. You're the pure self. And he transmitted a force to me in that moment that absolutely transformed me. And so I'm the self. And I had a doubt, and he said, doesn't matter if people don't understand it. There's power in that understanding because it's true. Because it is true. Because it is true. And ultimately, it's victorious. So let's meditate. We'll meditate for 10 minutes. And we'll meditate on that. I am the self. Look within and find that place within you where there is peace. Despite whatever turmoil is going on in your life, where there is joy, whatever negative emotions are arising and tormenting, there is a place of joy, a place of contentment, somewhere hidden within. Because you've experienced it at different times in your life, it's still there in potential. So we'll meditate now. For 10 minutes, we meditate on the inner self. And once again, with great respect and love, I welcome you all with all my heart. Satguru Nath Maharaj Ki Jai. Let's meditate.